This morning we're going to be in Luke chapter 8, so if you want to turn there. This is a passage that, a month or so ago, I was able to share out of this passage at the nursing home. And this past week I had another message prepared, and I was going to be in Corinthians, and that's where I felt like we were supposed to be. And as I continued praying and I continued reading and just different places throughout God's Word, be honest with you, he said, I didn't learn enough from the last time I preached this message, so I'm going to have to listen to it again. And so as I began to go over it and over it in my study time and my prayer time, that's what we got for this morning. And so we are going to look at that passage, where very familiar passage where Jesus calms the wind and the waves. Very, very familiar passage. And so as we look at this morning, my prayer is that we don't look at it as a familiar passage, that we would look at it in a way that we seek to see what God is saying to us today. Because as a church, we need to make sure, and not just as First Southern Baptist by any means, but as the church of God, we need to understand why we are not effective the way He desires us, the way He tells us, the way He promises us that we will be. And so my prayer is this morning that we would hear from Him and we would apply to our lives what it is He has for us this day. So I'm going to start in Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 22, just a few short verses. It says, "Now it happened on a certain day that he got into the boat with his disciples, and he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side of the lake.' And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water, and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Master, Master, we are perishing.' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. But he said to them, 'Where is your faith?' And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, 'Who can this be? For he commands even the wind and the water, and they obey him.'" Let's pray. Father God, I lift up your word today. I pray that you would move in us, in this place, that, Lord, we'd be submissive to your word. Lord, we can hear it all day long, but if we don't obey it, it means nothing. So, Holy Spirit, I pray you would move in this place, that we would be able to be honoring you and bring you glory as we take your word, as we hear it, and as we apply it to our lives, that we might honor you more. In your name we pray. Amen. This past week I was on social media, and there was this little cartoon, and it was this man, and he was on his knees, and he was praying to God, and he said, "God, please speak to me." And then in the next caption, here was this arm reaching down out of a cloud, holding a Bible, and he said, "I have been." And I thought, that's part of our problem. That's part of my problem. And so I want us to make sure we hear what he has for us today, because he's trying to speak to us. First of all, as we look at this passage this morning, I want to split it up into different ways than maybe I normally do or whatever. But I want us to first look at what Jesus does that day. Because if we break it down and we see with every scripture what Jesus has to say or what Jesus is doing at that time and at that place, and the way he says it, and what his purpose is for the scripture, then we can take and we can see how that applied to the people then and also to see how it applies to our lives today. And so first, let's look at what Jesus did that day. It says, on a certain day, he got into the boat with them. You and I are going to look at this passage, and I want us to first think about that day. Here they are, they're on the seashore, and Jesus says, let's go to the other side of the lake. There was something there that he, as the Son of God, knew that they needed to be on the other side of the lake. And it wasn't just that he needed to be there. He wanted them to be there as well. And so he got into the boat with them that day. There were other times in other storms where Jesus sent them in a boat and he stayed and prayed up on the mountain after he had fed the 5,000. But in this case, he gets in the boat with them and he says, we need to go to the other side of the lake. Jesus got in the boat with them. No matter how I look at this, as I looked over this and I thought about this, I thought, you know, I can't skip the fact that he got in the boat with them. But I want us to stop today and see where it says, and your text may read it a little differently, but it's on a certain day. On a certain day, he got in the boat with them. Now, some people might say, well, you're adding to the scripture. That's not what I'm doing. I want you to understand that there was a day when he got in the boat with them. There was another day, like I said, where he just sent them. There was another day when they were out in the boat and he called them. But on this certain day, he got in the boat with his disciples. I want to ask you about your certain day. On that certain day, that you can say in your life that you know that you were in the boat with Jesus. You know that you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, you may not remember the exact day, and I've had people say, well, you know, I feel really bad because I don't remember the day and the time, and I just know that it happened. I know that I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I'm not saying that you have to have the day, the minute, the hour, that type of deal. But I am saying that you need to know 100% that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Because you can walk out of here knowing everything else about the stories, everything else about this, what took place on that day in that boat. You can know all of that stuff. And it means nothing if you don't know that you have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, maybe, like I said, some people say, well, that's not what this passage is talking about. No, but that's what I'm talking about. Because there is nothing more important than you knowing that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And you need to know that that happened. There has to have been a day in your life that you have chosen to surrender your heart to Jesus Christ as Lord and the Savior of your life. Because nothing else matters above that. So let's go on and get back to the passage. That was extra. That didn't cost you a thing right there. That was not in the sermon material. But Jesus got in the boat with them that day. And get what he says. His desire was, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. He wanted to be with them. And he had a desire to be with them on the other side of the lake. And now they're trapped in the boat with him. They have no choice, right? No, they had a choice. But here, his desire, I want us to see his desire, is to be with him on the other side. Jesus Christ died on the cross so that I could be on the other side with him. Jesus Christ died on the cross so that you could be on the other side with him. That was his point. When they got in the boat, he had a plan. He had a desire, and it was for them to be on the other side of the lake. So they launched out. And Jesus fell asleep during the storm. Maybe he fell asleep before, and then the storm came up. But if he's in one of the boats that they had back then, it wasn't like a fancy sailboat we have now. It was a wooden boat, and he's down in there and he's asleep. And if like the scripture says that the boat begins filling with water, I would say he was probably at least somewhat experiencing the storm, even though he was asleep. But he was okay. He could sleep right through it. It didn't bother him. Now, some people might say, well, he slept up on things. We don't know. But he was calm during the storm. And then, when they realize that the storm is that bad, and these are professional fishermen that are out on this lake, and if you know the lay of the lake, there was mountains on each side, and or at least hills. And so when the wind would come down through the valleys, a storm would come upon the lake very quickly. And so this was nothing new to them. But this storm was a little different because these professional fishermen were still afraid that they were going to die. And so they came to him and they woke him up. And I don't know how you guys are, but when I get woke up by somebody that's hysterical, I become hysterical because I don't know what's going on. But Jesus wakes up and he's calm. So these hysterical fishermen, professional fishermen, afraid of the storm, they come and they wake him up and they start screaming at him, I'm sure, because it's repeated, Master, Master, we're perishing. If you're in a boat and that's the first thing you hear when you wake up, and you can be calm, then you must understand something that most people wouldn't. And that was that he had the power to control the storm. And so as Jesus falls asleep and he wakes up to the panic of the disciples, and he's still calm even though the storm is going on, and he takes and he speaks to the wind and the waves. And they become calm. And his question is, where is your faith? Now, this is Jesus. This is the Son of God. He knows about their faith. So why did he ask that question? Because he wanted them to know where their faith was. And so that's a question that we'll get to for us. And so as we look at what Jesus did that day, his desire, his purpose, his placement, his calmness, his power, and his concern. That is the same thing that you and I have today. We have his purpose. We have his calmness. We have his desire. We have his power. And we have his concern. So when you and I are facing those storms, how do we react? Well, let's look at now how the disciples reacted. Let's look at where they were at. Put yourself in the boat with Jesus on this point. We know Jesus got in the boat with them. It says he got in the boat with his disciples, and so it doesn't tell us what order. It doesn't really matter. All we know is that they were in the boat with him. So you and I as Christians, if you got into that boat that one day, that certain day, like I talked about, then you are in that boat, in that journey across that lake until the day he takes us to the other shore. You are in that boat. And like this boat, there's going to be storms. But how do they handle it? Well, they're obviously in the boat, so they're near Jesus. You know, and sometimes you and I think that's enough. Well, as long as he's where I can call on him when things get bad, then that's all I need. That's not all we need, or he wouldn't have that final question. So when the storm comes about, when everything was calm, they were good. Jesus was asleep. They had no reason to wake him. They had no reason to go talk to him because the storm was calm. But when the storm comes up, And like I said, there were sudden storms on the lake in that region. They would come up and they would be very, very bad storms. And so when they did, they began to panic. And the storms that you and I face every day, we panic. But what they did next is where I think we stumble. They did not call on Him until they realized they were perishing. That's what it tells us. It says, and they came to Him and woke Him up, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. They did not go to Him and wake Him up, saying, hey, the storm's getting a little rough. They didn't go to Him and say, you know, clouds are coming in, waves are beginning to pick up. They waited until they were perishing. And that's what we do. Because as long as I'm in this boat, and I'm a professional fisherman, I can handle this. Yeah, I've handled these waves like this before when Jesus wasn't in my boat. Before I even knew Jesus, I handled these things. I've seen dark clouds roll in and nothing happened. I can handle this. I wonder how many of those disciples were thinking that as the waves started rising, as the clouds started rolling in, as the wind begins to blow. I wonder how many of them were thinking, I could handle this. Because that's what you and I do. When things start rolling in, oh, we've handled these before, we can handle them again. And now we got multiple things coming in, clouds, rain, wind, waves. Well, it's a little bit rougher, but we can surely handle this. We don't want to bother Jesus. But you know what? When they finally called on Him was at a point when they knew they were perishing. We wait the same way. And there's something good in that statement and there's something bad in that statement. First, the good. Only when you realize you are perishing will you call on Jesus for salvation or for help. So realizing we are perishing is all that's going to cause us to call on Jesus. But every one of us need to get to that point. To realize we are perishing. Without the blood of Jesus, we are perishing. Without the power of God, we are perishing. Every day, you and I need to get to a point to understand that we are perishing. Because if we think we're not, then we will think we can get by. And if you think you can get by, there will be a rude awakening someday. But they got to that point. And the bad side of that point is the fact that we don't turn to Him until the last possible moment. And that's what they did. But they had time in their boat, on that lake, in that storm, to be able to finally come to a point and realize, hey, this is out of our control. And they had time because the boat had not sunk yet. They were still in that boat. And so they finally called out to Him for help. But look at what they called out, saying, Master, Master. They acknowledged that He was in control. We are perishing. We need Your help. Why do you and I, on a daily basis, miss those two statements? You go through a day, I go through a day where He is not our Master. He is not our Lord. We claim it. We've got that sticker on our shirt or on our Bible or on our back or whatever you want to call it. to where we claim the name of Jesus as our Savior, but when it comes to being the Lord of our life, is He really? By my actions, can people see that I'm religious, or can they see that He's the Lord of my life? Those are different. And I think that's why, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I think that's why as a church, that's where we're at today. Because we are so religious. But in order for Him to be the Lord, we have to follow everything He says. And we don't. And I'm saying this at myself, just as much or more. Like I said, I had to go over this message. I had to preach this message twice because I didn't get it the first time. But we don't follow Him as Lord because we don't follow His Word. When He calls us to go out and witness, when He calls us to be with Him, to cross over, to go through the storms, to do the things that He sets before us, we might as well be waking Him up saying, Jesus, it's bad. Help me. Because to call Him Master and Lord means to do what He says. But they acknowledged Him as Master, and they acknowledged that without Him they were perishing. That's where they got to. That's where life brought them, in that boat. But what happens next? Jesus wakes up and He speaks to the wind and the wave, and they obey Him. Put yourself in that boat that day. You've been in that storm. You're a professional fisherman. Like I said, this is nothing new to you, but it's just a little heavier than normal. And this Jesus that you've been listening to, you've watched miracles, you've seen the things that He's done, and now all of a sudden you wake Him up knowing that He has done things that we couldn't explain before. And now He wakes up and He turns around and He talks to the waves and they die down. Now we can make an excuse for the wind because we can't see it. And that's the way people are today. Whenever God does something and God controls something and we can't really see it, well, it's a coincidence. We can come up with some other reasoning because we can't see it. But when God begins to move in something that you can see, how do you deny that? They were able to experience the results of the power of God to the point that it says they were even afraid and they marveled. And they sat there and they talked to each other about, wait a minute, this guy just did that. This Son of God just spoke to the wind and the waves, and they obeyed Him. How do you think the experience of the power of God affected them that day? We don't know. I can't ask you to get in their mind, but I can ask you this. The last time you experienced the power of God in your life, how did it change you? When we experience the power of God, it says they marveled. Man, imagine that power. Did you just see what God done in our lives? And they marveled at it. But we can't skip that first word. They were afraid because that power was something they were not used to. And that's where people mess up today. They have no fear of God. And it's not to be afraid of God, but it's to understand His power. as we look at this passage, we saw what Jesus did. We saw what the disciples did. Now, my question is to us. That question that he had, where is your faith? Let's just say Peter is right there beside Jesus. Peter's the one that woke him up. We don't know. It doesn't tell us. And I'm not trying to add anything to the Bible. It doesn't matter which one it is, but we're all familiar with somewhat with Peter or the name of Peter. And so as we think, Jesus looks at Peter or the other disciples and says, where is your faith? Jesus already knows where his faith is. Why would Jesus ask that question, but that Peter would have to stop and say to himself, to answer that question, where is my faith? And so my question that I have to answer when I go through those storms and I don't call on him until the fact that I realize I'm perishing and it's my last resort, and Jesus says, where is your faith? How is your faith affecting your storm? How is your faith affecting those around you? Because let's just say for just a second that Peter was in the boat, and if he'd have had faith, or at least the faith that Jesus is talking about, if he'd have been able to tell the other people while Jesus was asleep, hey, he's got us. I guarantee you there is no way that this boat is going down because the Son of God, we've seen him do all these other things. I guarantee you I've experienced his moving. I've experienced his power before, and I know that he has got this. How would Peter's faith have affected those others in the boat? But if Peter sits there and he doesn't have faith, then Andrew's going to sit there and maybe he's feeding off of Peter. Maybe he's waiting for Peter to have faith or John or one of the others. How does their faith affect those around them? Because nobody in the boat, according to the question, where is your faith? Nobody's faith was evident. And when my faith is not evident or your faith is not evident in the things that we do, in the way that we live our life, then how is that going to affect those around us? Jesus already knows, so he says it so that we will know, so that we will think about it. Today, I feel like we're in that same boat. We're just hanging around Jesus. Hey, I'm good. I accepted Christ when I was 21, and I'm in the boat with Jesus, and we know that the boat's headed to the other side, and that's all that really matters. And everything's going to be okay, I'm pretty sure. We've dealt with things in life before. Why do we wait to call? We need that relationship that's continuous. That faith that changes my choices. That faith that calls me to make him the Lord of my life. Why do we wait to make those choices and to make those calls? Why don't we live by faith? Because the Bible, you've all heard that verse, the righteous shall live by faith. And I think I could ask the last question, why don't we see the power of God? Why don't we experience the power of God? It's because of these others. We're just hanging around. We're waiting to call. We don't have faith. And I know, and every time that God lays something on my heart this heavy, it comes across seeming so heavy at you. And I know there are people out there that are doing everything that God is calling them to do, or at least everything they possibly can. And it seems like it's so negative. And like I said, maybe it's because I'm the one struggling and you're just getting the backlash from what God is doing to me. But answer this question, is your faith affecting those around you? Not your religion. Because my religion affects the people around me. But does my faith affect those around me? Because my faith will bring about an experience with God. When Peter began to walk on the water in a different situation, and Jesus called him out to walk on the water, the experience of his faith changed the people in the boat. They didn't get out and walk on the water, but they saw something that day. They experienced something that day that they had never seen before. How is our faith experience changing our life and changing the lives of others? So, finish it up with these two thoughts as Christians. And these are ones I wrote down for me this morning, and I'm just going to read them to you. Stop floating around just to be with Jesus. Call on Him before I get in jeopardy. You need Him in every situation. Submit to Him as Master and experience His power. And then I thought, you know, well, I'm sure there's probably somebody out here today, maybe listening on YouTube or wherever, that doesn't know what I'm talking about, doesn't understand because they've never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Jesus chose to get in that boat that day, just the same as He chose to come down and die on a cross for you. He desires to be with you in eternity on that other shore. He's there all the time in the calm storms, calm before the storm and during the storm. But you have to come to Him. Admit you need Him. Because the wages of sin is death. But it says they had to submit to Him, and you have to submit to Him as well. And when you do, you will experience the grace of God, when your sins will be blotted out and covered up by the blood of Jesus Christ. That cannot happen or will not happen until you submit to Him as the Lord of your life. You call on Him because you realize you need a Savior. That's the questions we have today. The call that God has for us today. I don't know what He has for you in this message today, but I know that there are storms coming that you're going to face. Maybe you're in one right now. He's there. And you cannot make it through without Him. There is no way. You might experience decent things, But one of these days, that eastern sky is going to split and he's going to come back. And at that point, you will need him. But will it be too late? Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I thank you for this opportunity. I pray for each of us that have heard your word this morning. Lord, that you would speak to us in a way that only you can. Lord, that we would honor you and glorify you. Lord, if there be any here that do not know you, I pray that today would be that day that they would come to know you. Father, my prayer is for those of us that do know you, that we would surrender and submit to you and glorify you with our lives. May we honor you in everything we do. In your precious name we pray. Amen.